Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and everybody leave me alone. Millie Thompson's back in the building, and this is the only thing I'll care about for the next few months. And with me I have...
Never find someone who hates you as much as Penske Media hates sinners for... what they think are stupidly white, right reasons. Ugh.
And
there's the best podcast award, and we weren't nominated. That's the Golden Globes. Also, yeah. There's a best podcast award.
Man, I don't know why we didn't win. I mean, I stuffed the ballot box.
Clearly, we weren't that high on the predictions market through Poly Market because we gotta make this awards show as cheap as possible. Ugh.
Yeah. Although there's no shame losing Amy Poehler, that means you've won a few people to lose, you know, actually mind some fucking business.
Yeah. You know, maybe it's a good thing I missed the award show because I had band practice last night.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, good to know. I wonder if we're going to have to come back to this at some point later. Foreshadowing is a literary device, but that's neither here nor there. But, here we are, episode 419. How's everyone's week been going?
It was... a given other events happening... over the past week, I'm just going to say my week happened and leave it at that. Shit is rough out there. I don't know if y'all know this, but yeah, shit is rough out there and just not even 2 weeks into the year and we're already dangling on the edge of everything. I don't know. What do you want me to say? Shit sucks. We'll get through it. But god damn it sucks right now. And also, playoff football's happening, and I'm pretty sure... my heart rate is still questionably high. My football team is a broken mess with just bodies on top of bodies on top of bodies in the graveyard. And they're still winning. Whatever happens after this, I'm good. Just, yeah, like, I had to go lie down for a bit after that 49ers game on Sunday night. And I watched the Golden Globes to recoup from that, which, good monologue. Love me some Nikki Glaser. Rest of the show is very cheap.
Sure sounds like it. Mark, what about you?
My week was a week. It's... been the weakest of all it's just a week. Anyway, I've been, you know, of course, been doing a whole lot of looking through the new anime that comes out this season. And I mean, okay, I know there's one show. I know there's one show that I know me and Rob would agree on. That's like, oh, this is some good shit. The one show about the Death Game.
Who the hell said Death Game animes were allowed to be cinema? This is illegal.
This is actually watchable. The slow pace fits. It doesn't feel gratuitous or just doing shock bite. It's like, I'm actually liking this. I'm like, well, okay, we watch this every week. I'm like, this is some good shit. I feel happy. I think it helps that. Even though, like, if y'all know me, I tend to watch a lot of anime, like a lot of new anime. Like for those who follow me on Blue Sky or whatever, dude, like I always put out like a ranking list or a Google Doc list of the anime that I watch all year. Like I, you know, all the color coded shit as in this is for winter, for fall, for summer, you know the thing. Like sometimes I end up doing over 100, like. All year, and well, last year did like 129, well, close to 130, which is like that's a lot. You can see why my worst picks ain't the usual bullshit that people always put. But yeah, want to slow things down and not try to over and not go too much, because I end up either just, I don't know, just bullshitting myself or just wanting to show that I'm not going to fall. That may not happen, because, like, I'm thinking, like, I'm so far watching, not counting the leftovers from last season, 22 anime.
Damn.
Oh, that's a lot.
And considering we got sequels, like, we got other sequels coming, like Furion coming up, and Oshinoko, and Metalist, which airs, a lot later, like, on the 24th. Okay, Hulu.
Huh, oh, weird.
Okay, Hulu, or Disney Plus, what the fuck, you gonna call yourself now, or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah. Right. Yeah, Hulu's disappearing this year.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, at least that kept me, you know, focused, you know, from the world that's, well, everything's terrible. We know that by now. And, well, I've been through that. Well, the darkest, well, you get it. We've been knowing this shit was going to happen.
Yeah. I'm just taking it day by day. But on my end, well, nothing super eventful other than trying to, you know, watch some shows, you know, clear through some stuff in my queues. Speaking of anime, I finally watched the new season of King of the Hill.
Oh.
Get it? You thought I was going somewhere else, heh. But yeah, that was a pretty good season. I am so proud of the man that Bobby Hill grew up into. He is good people. Hank Hill raised a good kid.
But yes, yeah, that was, yes, he has.
But yeah, that was a lot of pretty good stuff, and I really hope they do more with Keith David in the next season.
Yeah, he's been getting around with some stuff, which is good, because we need it, because, you know, more Keith David is needed.
Also, I finally finished season 2 of the Ranma Half remake, which, on one hand, it introduces Ukiyo and Moose, who are great. On the other hand, I now have the displeasure of knowing that Hapasai exists.
Congratulations! You are one of us actual Ranma One Half fans. You hate Hapasai with a burning passion and want him to burn in the fiery depths of hell itself.
Why do I get the sense that that's probably not going to happen? Unless MAPPA makes some extreme executive decisions.
Considering the pace at which it's being made, let's just be glad there's as minimal Hapasai as there already is right now, because in the original 80s and 90s series, oh god, it was bad.
Jesus Christ, why did you people put up with that?
Because the rest of the series is actually good.
You know what, I'll take your word for it, I'm still having fun. And I kind of want Okonomiyaki now.
Ukiyo is best girl, y'all are wrong.
So, yeah, that's pretty much about it on my end. And then, of course, trying to watch more stuff that's out there. So, we'll see where the rest of the chips flow as far as whatever else I pick up. Man, I'm just saying words at this point. Anyway, let's actually get into the meat of the episode. The usual weekly business, of course, starting with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us. Pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for new albums, all that jazz. And we're opening this week with Black Veil Brides. Actually, maybe I should stall with more Ranma conversation.
Yes, please do, because this is a terrible pick to start with.
You can tell we're still in the doldrums of January when we're settling on Black Veil Brides for podcast content. So, there is a new album due out at some point in the year, and they have a new single out called Certainty, and it definitely sounds like a Black Veil Brides song from current year, and I mean that derogatorily. Structure-wise, it's your super basic, like, verse-chorus, bridge, like, radio rock BS. The instrumentation is just generic grooves, chuggy guitars with some kind of vague riffing, 4-on-the-4 kicks, the occasional rapid double pedal pattern, and, I mean, Andy Biersack just does generic growls and deep soaring cleans. I'm reminded of a quote from a Todd in the Shadows video. I think it was the Nickelback train record. His description of Flo Rida is how I would describe Black Veil Brides. They're the kind of band you hire when you need a metalcore band, but you don't really care about any specific one. Like, they are the kind of band that you get to open for a stadium tour when literally no one else is returning your calls.
Okay, seeing how this was first on the list, I listened to this song last when taking my notes because I did not want to start with Black Veil Brides. Ugh. And my notes reads as follows. Yep, this is definitely a metalcore song in B-flat written as a metalcore song in B-flat with power chords everywhere, flat drum sounds, pop, chorus, vocal lines, and breakdown vocals that feel like it's trying too hard to be breakdown vocals. This is really boring. Can we please leave 2010's metalcore in the past? For the love of God, please.
Look, the important thing is, now that we've hit the bottom of the well at the start, we can only go up. There's a logic here sometimes. So, let's move on to the next song here, which looks like it's by IDK. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long while. I think his last album was, I think the last I talked about was a couple of years back. I hardly remember, but anyway, he actually has something at the end of the month, a new mixtape, which titled ETDS, Even the Devil Smiles, which, heh, he has a single before, which is last thing he released was a single featuring the late DM, well, a Puss Mophus with Mophus DMX with it, which, okay. This time, you got a single called Life for a Wife. It's produced by Kitchenada, so, you know, he's in good hands. And featuring a verse by none other than Pusha T.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, let God sort him out. Even the devil smiles. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta say, this beat is fucking menacing. Like, Kitchenada, who, I mean, Pino produced mostly, house music and dance music. This is some very chilling shit he made, which, okay. And the lyrics are, basically chilling stuff. Like, they put this on until nigga calm down, trying to get on his crown, jump up that shit when I was back on lockdown. And look over here, Nico's got this money kid going, like, I really could change how my niggas like to live. Probably miss the change ain't enough to pay the bills. So for what the ISIS, where they leave the body, chill. Bubba Jazz will basically the house to keep it fresh, which basically a lot of street shit going on, as in this shit will happen. And then go to Pusha T's verse, which goes by, you pussy niggas miscounting all them lying lives. Beg for attention and mentioning me. Get your name penciled in. The guns ain't whispering. Pick an island, Gilligan. Set your bitch poolside. Son, turn cinnamon. I don't do remember and get money right now. Now, it also sounds like I keep a podcast, getting my past out, watching niggas crash out, telling who would ask about if anybody sitting in the glass house. Now I wonder, who could he be talking about? With what he said, begging for attention and mentioning him. I wonder. There's probably that's been on tour a lot. That's been saying fuck him a lot. Considering, well. Yeah, I wonder who that rapper is.
And it's totally a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I can't pick up Jack. It's really the guess about the cactus.
You good there, Mark? You're doing a lot of unusual emphasis.
Well, for what it's worth, whenever I'm hearing all this, I'm just thinking to myself, you know what? I just have to wonder, what's the next Top of the Watch video going to happen? Because I can't wait to hear, hey, all, Scott here again. Pardon me.
One more thing.
I really should get into playing this No More Heroes game. I mean, Travis Touchdown seems like a really cool guy.
Yes, he is.
The check is pretty. The check is solid. I'm about to beat the laser good. It may not blow my world, but I say it's solid.
Yeah, just don't go to any rodeos and stay away from the Fiend. Do you get it? Is it clear enough to all you out there?
Yeah. Yeah, now watch out for those birds. About a trap.
Now let's move on to the next track. And, oh yeah, right, that fucking Pucifer album is still happening. So we have Pucifer's new album, Normal Isn't, dropping February 6th. And we have the newest single, Impetuous, with the U being capitalized. Get it? Impetuous. It's supposed to be a joke, I think. Anyway, so of course it comes courtesy of a music video that's going for this whole, like, 50s pulp comic throwback exploitation sort of thing. But instrumentally, the song is anything but. It's just this very steady tom groove, little bits of hi-hat and snare in there, this kind of ominous tweeting synth throughout the song with a lot of these sparse guitar chords and leads occasionally strumming in between the buzzy electronics. Maynard and the backup vocalists are singing about something. I don't know, like, it had more going on, I guess, than the Black Veil Bride song, but, like, I don't know, Pucifer on average was always my least favorite of the Maynard projects, and this song is kind of why. It's a good example of why.
Well, I wasn't really expecting a slow groove jam here, but, you know, in a vacuum, it's a good vibe-out track, though I feel like there's fuller meaning within the whole album's context. So, see you back here in a month when the album comes out, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But now, moving on to the next track. So, it's been about 7 years and some change since we last heard a new album from the Swedish dance pop singer Robin with a Y. Fun fact, I know, like, they had some, like, Billboard hits in, like, the 2000s and even in the 2010s, the only reason I ever started listening to her was because of the high praises I heard for her 2018 release, Honey. Praises coming from, of all people, co-founder and former contributor to Metal Sucks, Vince Neil Stein. He was absolutely correct in his praise, by the way. Honey is a great record. But it looks like Robin is set to drop her newest record on March 27th, and it is titled Sexistential. Don't you mean existential? No. And we have not one, but two singles here. Because, you know, when you wait for like 7 years to release an album, you kind of got to blow two loads at once. Trust me, it's not gonna get any more subtle from here.
Oh no. I can tell you the thesis of the whole album right now. It's that one scene in Tropic Thunder where Jack Black is tripping out on some kind of hallucinogenic drugs in the middle of the jungle, and he's just screaming, I gotta fuck something!
Oh god, I gotta rewatch that movie at some point. So, yeah, let's do single number one here first, which is Talk to Me, and it's definitely pitched as the more mainstream appealing, if I'd had to say. It is just a damn good synth pop banger, tight groove, good amount of bass synth, with some really catchy tweeting synth melodies, and of course Robin delivering a lot of extremely confident sensuality in her performance, pretty much inviting you to, you know, talk to her, flirt with her, do the deed, all of that stuff. The temperature's getting pretty hot in here for winter, if I do say so myself. And then, of course, there's the title track, which is pretty much does away with any subtlety. Like, it's definitely not like a pop-aiming sort of tune. Like, the bass synth is cranked up way further. Scratchy hi-hats and snares. More like some deep-cut DJ club mix. And the lyrics abandon that sort of more flirty nature. Just straight up be, you know, I gotta fuck something. Being horny on main. And delivering golden quotes like, my body's a spaceship with ovaries on hyperdrive. My baby maker's got 20 in the clip ready to fire. And apparently at one point simping for Adam Driver because he was apparently really great and you don't mess with the Zohan. Wait a sec. Okay. He wasn't in that movie. You lied to me, Robin. But your tune's banging. Pun intended.
Okay, now I could give a proper analysis and of the arrangement and the production and the lyrics, but I'm not. I'm just going to say that this is fun, and it's what was missing from pop music all of last year. Try and tell me that a song with the lines "in my sweatpants and some juicy hentai" doesn't make you grin with a goofy laugh. Also, I feel like I have to ask for research purposes, what kind of hentai is Robin into? I feel like we need some context about you know, what's good and what isn't. Hardcore stuff, softcore stuff, the weird stuff. The world needs to know.
I'm going to go ahead and assume that she's probably a connoisseur of the classics, like Bible Black or Urotsuki Doji.
Oh, I don't think he's going to mention that.
Of course. But, yeah, it's goofy, it's dumb, but it's fun. And speaking of fun,
we have one last song here to discuss. And this actually comes out literally the month before on February 27th. So, speaking of long gaps, while 2021 had the release of Silk Sonic, the collab album between Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak, technically, it's been about a decade since Bruno Mars last dropped a proper solo record with 24 Karat Magic. Just to put that into musical context and perspective, that album came out pretty much the same week and year as Metallica's Hardwired to Self-Destruct, which wound up topping Mars on the album charts. So what I'm saying here is that Metallica has the opportunity to do the funniest fucking thing ever.
I was going to add that he made an album since we debuted.
Oh, yeah, God, right.
It's been a while. All we've got from him is just a couple singles and leading with Silk Sonic, and that's about it.
Yeah. But it looks like now Mr. Mars is set to drop his newest album next month, titled The Romantic, with a lead single here called I Just Might. And it definitely sounds like a song recorded by one Mr. Bruno Mars. As you can imagine, the overall feel is a retro throwback, specifically to about, like, 70s funk and disco. You got horn section, high-pitched syncopated guitar chords, multi-layered vocals with that kind of 70s charisma. There's congas, and that's very important, kids. Do not ever get congas confused with bongos. Bongos are smaller and more portable. Congas are the tall boys. Remember that. That difference might save your life someday. And, I mean, I don't have much else to say. Like, it sounds like a Bruno Mars throwback kind of tune. If you're really, really into it, then sure, have fun with it. But, I don't know. I feel like Silk Sonic is a peak I don't think he'll ever achieve again. Not unless he tries for Silk Sonic 2.
Although I think that'd be a one-and-done deal, which is kind of sad because I kind of want to hear more Silk Sonic. I mean, this song is fine, too. I mean, it's basically like what I expect from Bruno Mars at this point. Like, he's doing his little throwback shit, which, I mean, he's been doing most of his career. And it works. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And it's not like he's flooding the market with anything. And, like, most of the albums, he just really, like, what, 9 or 10 songs is like, boop, 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 there you go. It's your song. It's your album.
Yeah. And to me, it's very clear that a pop scene dominated by ordinary garbage last year has unleashed something in the universe that's commanding these releases to hit at the right time. And I hope and pray that this year we course correct with more fun pop songs and no songs that feel like a contemporary Christian funeral dirge. I mean, here we got conga drum beats and woo-woos on here. That is fun. Hearing, that's not fun. That's lame.
Ah, good Lord. Yeah, I guess when you put it like that, anything over Warren or Forrest Frank.
Yeah. Also, two things to point out. One, none of the collab singles we've heard the last year or two are going to be on the album. And this is only his fourth solo album in 16 years, which feels weird. It feels like he's done more, but at the same time, he hasn't.
Yeah, I heard he got racing in Vegas. Am I keeping busy or something? That's been it. And he's doing a tour after this, which, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, I guess we'll see what happens if we get any more singles in the next couple months. Well, next month and a half, basically. You know what I mean. Yeah, that about does it for the new songs, and we only really have one news topic here. Oh, hey, look at that. It's about the Golden Globe Awards last night. It's almost like all that illusion was like foreshadowing or something, but, you know, how could that be the case? So, I don't know. Since, like I said, I had band practice, and then I, like, took a little bit of a nap and then assembled the document and everything. So what did I miss that was important?
Lot of awards were handed out. There was a good monologue, yeah. Some kind of funny bits, a very cheap overall production with voiceover commentary for all the winners, which was not needed. Polymarket prediction betting, which was not needed.
Yeah.
And most egregious of all, the award for best original score was not on the main broadcast.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. If like. Yeah, like best original score. What we catch over there? The best podcast. Here you go.
Yeah. Now, from what I understand, the alleged reason—I will say the alleged reason—is that it was cut due to time constraints. Although I will tell you that's bullshit because the show ran 20 minutes over time.
Yeah,
I can't tell you who won this award. Ludwig Göransson for Sinners. A movie that some folks at Penske Media, who runs the Golden Globes, just seem to have a particular conniption fit over.
Yeah, occasionally paying attention to, well, the last year, like, when Sinners came out and it was dominating the box office, Variety was like, well, it made money, but I don't know if it's going to make back its budget or not. I don't know, if it's going to be a success. I know it'll be a smash. I don't know. It may not be the big win. Like, and look what happened now.
Yeah.
It made bank. It got a lot of critical attention. It made cultural impact. It got a whole lot of people talking. And also, when you point out, you know, other movies out this year, probably not doing as well, or maybe not doing as well. You're like, well, what we're saying is you gotta buy you got a fucking bias. We know it's a bias, and we know that Penske Media probably, you know, they are playing favorites. I mean, they've been gassing up Mark Supreme for the last couple of months, which, of course, I mean, that's doing okay. That's doing fine. It made its budget back, but that might be it. I don't know, but Of course. Okay, other than that, Tennis also won, well, the award for Best Box Office Achievement. And look, I know it's a Venus Award. I know it is, because it's like.
Yeah.
On one hand, it's meaningless. On the other hand, y'all were fucking doubting it was going to make bank or be successful. So it's torn. It's like, on one hand, it's like, oh, it's a participant's trophy. But on the other hand, it's like, fuck you, you fuck evil flop, but fuck you. But yeah.
It definitely is a bit of a booby prize award whenever anyone does something like that. But I do know that there was like a side-by-side somebody did between how Variety talking about Sinners at the box office and Marty Supreme at the box office. And I went, yep, that sounds about right. I mean, right.
Yeah. Make the Marty Supreme, and also, well, the night's big winner being one battle after another, which... Well, one of a bunch of awards. That won Best Picture, Musical or Comedy. One Best Director with Paul Thomas Anderson. Best Screenplay. Best Supporting Actor with Tiana Taylor, which I thought she did good in there.
She was in that movie?
Which, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, she was in that movie.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But considering that, the point of that movie has been, well, considering that movie, box office, well, I mean, it's like, you kind of made it, but you didn't, but, okay, I don't know, I call it, but yeah, it's like, you were given all the love to death, but when it comes to Sims, it's like, it's just some vampire movie or some shit, like, motherfucker.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, like, with Marty Supreme and One Battle After Another, I do want to see those movies, and I get the feeling that I might enjoy them, but it is really annoying the way the trades and tabloids try to talk about them. It's just very, very obnoxious and clear biases, but you know what? The important thing is, Sinners got awards, and it was a great movie, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
But anyway, So obviously that's how Sinners shaked out, but did anything happen with the other movie about characters from an ethnic minority background battling monsters with the power of music?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
One Best Motion Picture Animated, because of course it was going to win that one.
Yeah, it was obvious from the beginning. And also one Best Song for Golden, which...
Yes.
Also obvious, although I wouldn't allow you to win, but whatever.
I do think it'll be closer at the Academy Awards. I consider this award show to be the outlier to the main, you know, award shows for reasons that have already been explained within the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. When those nominees come out, that's going to be a fun day, especially on the off chance that a certain man made of power tools and logging equipment gets a nomination. I mean, I'm not sure if it will, but, like, a guy can dream. Listen, all I'm saying is, imagine a world where we can look at the awards and confidently say, Academy Award winning composer Kensuke Ushio.
It's beautiful,
isn't it?
I mean, do I see her nominated? Did he nominate Chainsaw Man in the movie? I mean, Golden Globes did nominate Demon Slayer.
I have not gotten that far in Demon Slayer. But, yeah, congratulations to Sinners, congratulations to K-pop Demon Hunters, and as always, suck it, Sasha Boys. It's important to reestablish that, but with that out of the way, we have one last thing we got to touch on here now that the news is done, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of January 16th, 2026. Only a small few things here, but there was a new album from thrash metal veterans Creator with Crushers of the World, and of course, Crushers is spelled with a K. From the prog metal band Sowin, there's their new album, Reliance. There's a new EP from They Might Be Giants with Eyeball, which Guys, how long have they been abandoned? Shouldn't we have figured out if they are, in fact, giants by now, instead of whether or not they might be? Anyway, and then I guess there's also this ASAP Rocky record, Don't Be Dumb, that I guess has been a thing for a while now.
Oh, so it's actually coming out now. He's not actually bullshit. Well, okay.
Allegedly, I'm only putting it here because it's technically on the release calendars. Some shit could always go down. Actually, hang on. Let me check Apple Music out of curiosity. Yep, they have Don't Be Dumb scheduled for this Friday. So,
okay.
We'll see what happens.
Wow, it took you 8 years at least. 8 years to release your next album, and this time, and it's the time you got no competition. At least the hip hop, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
All the usual places as usual. You know, if you find the show online, you probably found it through me or these other two guys. So just click on that and just go from there, I guess. I don't like promoting myself. I get nervous, so yeah.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
At Blue Sky, you know what you know my thing at Matching the Media where I don't know, I post a pic of my cat.
And, kitty cats.
Yeah, and that happens. And of course, my site on the hype1.com, where again, time of the season, new anime shit, it's winding down because it's just many of the sequel stuff that's coming now, and some backlog shit. It's backlog shit. I just say yeah, I'll do that later, but yeah.
Fair enough. As for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, some other places at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@swearresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at swearresolution.bluesky. Visit the website itself, swearresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And of course, on the site, you will find the link to our Discord so you can be immediately notified whenever anything goes up on the site. Chat about, I don't know, whatever pleases your fancy. Video games, movies, whatever takes you might have about anime airing this season. The works. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. We'll hopefully be back next week with more of the usual weekly business. And hopefully things pick up so that we don't have to settle on Black Veil Brides for a song. But until next time, seriously, have I mentioned how much I want to stomp on Hoppasai's guts?
We all do.